Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell!
Ladies and gentlemen, we are...
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and that's the only place to listen to wrestling, I do believe. Yeah, dig it! Yeah!
Hey guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
Bored to listen to that other show.
That's right. So, welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County. With me, as always, is my very special co-host, if you will. He is special.
Thank you.
And he is, of course, the above-average comedian, Dan the Man Colachico. How are you tonight, sir?
I put my pants on.
All by yourself?
All by myself.
Where can the fine people find you?
DanLaw83.
And, of course, our MMA wrestling analyst, back again from the very start, Omega Squad, Chris Green.
Konnichiwa, people of Earth.
Konnichiwa. How are you doing tonight, Omega?
I feel fantastic.
You feel fantastic? We're back in the swing of things. Hundreds upon hundreds of listeners are ready. They're on our every word as we speak.
It's another exciting episode.
Where can the fine people find you? I'm sorry.
The fine people can find me at Omega Squad on Twitter.
And Dan, you had something to say there.
It's gone.
gone already.
It's
the
gone already.
Passed.
The moment has passed. It has left us. It's no longer funny. It probably wasn't funny to begin with.
There's a fair chance of that.
You're a very, very... You have to get it out or else it's
gone. Or it's gone. Nah, it's gone. It's called ADD.
Yeah.
Shiny ball. Squirrel!
Squirrel, what? Hey, look at Kitty.
Now,
hey, what's that going on over there? Oh, sorry.
You can, of course, follow us on Twitter. That's HIAC Talk Radio. Like the Facebook, facebook.com/HIAC Talk Radio. Read the blog that is being updated quite more regularly now that referee Jimmy Dillon is on the case. And that's HIACTalkRadio.com. There's also a video up on points highlights from their January show, so check that out there.
I actually started writing an article. I haven't finished it yet.
I saw. You were writing about WCW Sin.
Yes, I'm going to finish. I want to perfect it. I got a few pictures and I had
gruesome pictures.
No, it's not too bad because I mean,
he had his boot on, so everything was okay.
Well, I mean, it's not even that. It's that what cracks me up about the whole thing. Pun, get it? Cracked. They didn't show it on the pay. If you watch the actual pay per view, they actually don't see that part. The camera is on the entranceway because of the great reveal of the mystery opponent being Road Warrior Animal. What do you friggin' do? But the next night on Nitro, it was like, and I'm not, and this is not a joke way, it was like 9/11, all day, all you saw was the plane going into the building over and over and over again, at the point where you had to shut it off because it was too terrible to watch. Nitro, week after week, Nitro, Thunder, hey, by the way, in case you didn't see it, snap, one more time, snap, and one more time, zooming in, pan and scan, snap.
Snap.
Snap. And it's pretty bad. I mean, his foot doesn't bend that way, especially because that's bone. There's actually not a bend there.
No. It was a gruesome break.
To his credit, you know, he came back and conveniently still doesn't show up on time.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
So he made it.
You know what? His wallet gets stolen at delis around the greater airports in the Tennessee region.
I'm just saying, if I was going to steal a wallet, I'd go for Sid's.
Yeah, I mean, it made total sense.
Yeah, just like his promo.
Total sense. Let's start over. That's Sid in a nutshell.
Yes.
Masterful work.
There's only one more better that I will send you the link to that was live on Nitro in front of the 20 people that were watching at the time, where he's Nash and Hall are in the ring. And Nash is made up like Sid, and Sid comes out and goes, you know, you think you're smarter than I am, but I am half the man that you are. And Nash and Hall just look at him and go, yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah, that's about right. It's perfect.
That's...
And you see him, after he says it, he kind of blinks, looks around, and goes, damn it.
Did it again.
Did it again.
You know which one I'm talking about, though. He was with Jim Ross.
He's live. He goes, well, don't start again.
We're live, pal.
Live. I'm mad.
Sid. Such, you know what, and the thing is, he'll probably make it into the Hall of Fame before Randy Savage.
Make sure that they show the 50 power bombs where he almost killed people. That's how good he was. There's a specific one, I don't remember the year, but it's in War Games, and he picks up, I think it's Pillman.
And yeah, it was a War Games match, and he nearly killed Pillman.
And he dropped him on his fucking, not his head, his neck. And I didn't even know that was possible. He dropped him so weird. It's worse than the Kevin Nash Giant one. Remember that one?
Oh, I'm not sure if it's worse than that one. Perhaps a tie.
Okay, well, you know which one I'm talking about, then. I mean, even Hogan's at ringside, he looks away like, oh, shit.
Yeah, not good for anybody.
And he told him, like, I can't pick you up. Yeah, sure you can, no problem. No, I can't pick you up. No, we'll do it anyway. Okay.
And he was very young in his career at the time, like, what, 2 or 3 years in? And he was
2 years. He started, what, 95? 96. He was 3 years in. He was 90. It was 95. They played him with his Andre's son, remember? He looks just like him! No, he doesn't. But that's okay. But And backstage, they were like, the spot is you're going to powerbomb and the thing. I can't do it. Well, yes, you can. I know you can. No, I can't get my arms around you. And they went with it anyway, and he almost killed him.
Yes, indeed. But tonight, who do we have on? We have on...
Kevin Nash. No.
The new flavor, Dan. James Strickland.
James Strickland. You have to hear about swerving. All these...
Yeah, what's up with all these swerves?
What's up with that?
What's up with the new flavor? What's that all about?
Chocolate.
He used to be called High Octane. When
he
broke in.
Oh, it's not like the upgrade, is it?
Mr. Upgrade? I don't know.
Where is Mr. Upgrade? You know what? We should do a vignette for Mike Reed like they did for Cactus Jack and not finish it.
Which one are you describing now? I don't.
So that's my fifth WCW reference. I'm making up for the last 2 weeks. They
you certainly are. Yeah.
I think it was 90 or 91. They I might be off of a couple years, but they did this angle where Cactus Jack had amnesia and went crazy, and Dusty wrote out these vignettes where there was gonna it was gonna you know yeah laughing already. It was gonna climax with a match and him coming back. Oh, I remember. And they filmed all these vignettes, and they found him in Cleveland, and I forget the name he was going by, but they just dropped it.
That was WCW in a nutshell as well, Dan.
And that's when Turner first owned it. That's within the first year of it actually being WCW. They spent all this money, and they were like, eh, never mind.
Do we want to talk about the destruction of Triple H's office quite yet?
Well, how much time we got?
You know what? I'll be quite honest. I have three callers. I know who two are. I think the third is our guest. I'm not sure.
Well, what do you want to do, boss?
You know what? Fish in a barrel. That's what I say.
All right. No ally, no problem.
Fish in a barrel. Let's try it. Who knows? Who knows? Let's play the music, and then whoever 703 is, they're going to get...
No.
Well, who's that?
That's a listener. Trust me, don't go to that one.
Okay, then no music.
Skip it 703.
Hello, 703.
Hello, Kelly.
Oh, that's Kelly?
Yes.
Hi, Kelly. I hope she's enjoying the show.
Probably not.
No?
Well.
She doesn't enjoy the show. Well, at least she listens.
No, she does enjoy the show, but I'm sure she's waiting for something to happen.
Well, nothing's happening yet.
Oh, well. Anyway, Triple H's fake office got fake broken into and fake beat up.
What, you know, I thought it was really well done. You know, Paul Heyman, of course, swallowing around the monster Brock Lesnar through WWE headquarters. Now,
can I
assume, though, that I can just do that? Can I just go up to the fourth floor of the executive offices?
Well, you know, the girl at the front desk looked quite startled. Do you have an appointment? No, we have an email. Oh, okay.
Maybe I'll go there with one of my wrestling pals. Maybe O-Dog and I, and we'll try the same thing.
I was going to say, O-Dog.
I can only speculate what corporate security is like at WWE. But if it's anything like where I work, yeah, nobody's going to mess with Brock Lesnar.
Probably just like, remember when DX went into WCW and it was one black dude?
Oh, when they went to CNN.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was their legit security. Y'all going to have to leave the premises. Oh, okay. What's your name? Well, that'd be the boss, and, you know, we want to talk to Bischoff. Well, you're all going to have to leave the premises. There's five big dudes and one little guy with a TWCW shirt and a pass. Didn't even have a gun.
Indeed. But Brock Lesnar, of course, the switch came when Brock bumped into Paul as they were doing it. They
hit
the switch, and there you go.
You could tell, right?
Yeah.
The audio on the mic changed. I was like, well, that wasn't obvious.
Yeah, quite obvious, and then they destroyed and then, like, I'm to believe that I suppose the second or third most important person in WWE has that type of office, that scaled down of an office?
No, he probably has a house-sized office with a bathroom in it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
A chamber just in case, you know, Stephanie gets a little randy. I would.
She came out. There are photos of her in a bikini.
I've seen those photos.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Kelly, I've never seen those photos, and I would never look at those photos.
I would never look at those photos.
I would never look at those photos. I don't think... Stephanie.
I read about it. I read about it.
This is like my friend. My friend keeps coming over while I sleep and watch porn on my computer. I have no idea what's going on.
Oh, so I guess those pictures of Ronda Rousey that were in Maxim this week are out. Okay.
They're out as well. Can you tell me
where that link is so my friend can look at those?
I might be able to pass you that link, yes.
Okay, well, I'll give it to my friend. His name is Don.
Don, yes.
Don Smith. Warren. Don Warren.
Smith.
Most likely Don Warren. But our guest has arrived.
Has he?
Yes, I
am. I'm scared. He's bigger than me.
I'm quite certain of it. So we are going to get to the new flavor. James Strickland, right after this.
How's it going?
I am doing great. I want to start out how you broke into this business. I did my research. It looks like you moved to Virginia. You had a passion as a high schooler. You moved to Virginia with your mother and your sister. And Don McLeod, I believe the name is.
Dave McLeod. Dave
there
McLeod.
We go. Yeah. And that's where you got your start. You want to tell us about that?
At the time, it was just like me and my friends were about a year out of high school, when we graduated, and we were like backyard wrestling for like that year, and to me it was just like this isn't enough for me. I want to take this further. I feel like I can do well if I took this a little further. So I knew that like the following week I was going to be moving down to Virginia with my mother, so I Googled some wrestling schools that might have been in the Richmond, Virginia area. And so the day that I moved down, I called immediately, and it was this place called Ground Zero Wrestling. And Dave McLeod was and still is the promoter for the company. So I called him. They were at a show. They were doing one of their shows at the time, and he was talking to me while the show was going on. And I was just like, hey, I was just really interested. I want to get in the ring as soon as I can. Like, what do I have to go through? And he just told me to come in that Tuesday. So right from that Saturday to that Tuesday, I came in, saw the ring. Like as soon as I like seen the wrestling ring, like I was like, okay, this is what I was meant to do. As soon as I seen it.
Well, now where are you originally from?
I'm originally from York, Pennsylvania / Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. So you leave from Pennsylvania to go down to Richmond, Virginia, the Richmond area, and you don't know anybody. It's just you and your family, and you decide to jump right into wrestling. Did anybody try to talk you out of it?
No. My mother actually went down there with me, and she was like 100% supportive of it. She read the contract, like the training fees and the contract if you try to break your contract, and she read all that with me. She sat right in the office with me as he broke down the entire training regiment and all the contract stuff. I had a lot of support going into it, and it was really just my mother and my younger sister. And I had like two aunts that lived in Virginia as well, but mainly it was just me and my mother and my sister. And I had nothing but support the whole way through my training.
Did you ever at one point think you made a bad decision through school? Was it pretty easy? Did you have any, hookups at all? Hang-ups.
I did not. It was really tough because, it taught me, like, because I've been through military training, I went through football training, I went through all types of other types of training. This one was different because it was all about body, how much your body can endure certain amounts of pain and can still continue. So it was a different, that was, I'd say it was the toughest part for me. Like having to like wear your body out week in and week out, night in, night out, and training and then in shows. Like my body had to get used to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say that was the that was like the biggest transition for me. That was the hardest one for me to make. But other than that, I enjoyed every minute of it. I was always the first one in, the last one to leave the ring.
Wow.
I came on Saturday mornings when we didn't have shows. I was like, I was a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Like, I you couldn't keep me out of the ring at all.
Wow. So I guess the next question would be, what made you decide to get into wrestling? What? I can't think of the word. Why did you decide to get into wrestling? Who influenced you? That's what I'm thinking of.
My biggest influencer was Rey Mysterio, hands down, because I was around 11. I'd say around 11, 12 years old. And one of my friends was really into wrestling, and I wasn't at the time. I knew about the wrestling a little bit, but I was not watching religiously as he was. So he tuned me into like SmackDown, and right when I first started watching wrestling like every week was July of 2002. Which was Rey Mysterio's debut against Chavo Guerrero on SmackDown. And I watched that match, and I pretty much memorized that match from, like, opening to end. And I fell in love. I was like, oh, my God, this guy's amazing. And then just seeing everything, like from him moved on to me having a big obsession with guys like Edge. He's one of my top favorite guys. I watch any Edge match. I watch any Rey Mysterio match, and those honestly were my two favorite. But my first one that got me excited about wrestling weekend and having to watch pay per views and order them was Rey Mysterio.
Wow.
Okay, now your first match was in March of 2010 for GXB, and you had a different gimmick at the time. The Holy Union, and you were Deacon Strickland. First, tell us about the match, and then tell us about the gimmick.
The match was actually a tag match, and this was about 6 months me training. I was having my first match after 6 months of training, and the co-owner of the company, the Pharaoh, he was really struggling to try to figure out how to put me in, how to like debut me the right way.
Right.
And so he figured, my partner, the Reverend Jay Boog, he was a really good, charismatic person. He was really, like, the kids loved him, fans got behind him. He was really over with the fans, but he wasn't considered a credible wrestler. Me, I had the credible wrestling down, but I did not have the introduction into wrestling as he did. So he thought it would be proper to pair us up together, and we became this elite tag team down in Virginia in the mid-Atlantic area, and we made the Holy Union. I was the Deacon, and he was the Reverend. So, and that ran, and we ran with that, and then we actually turned it like something that was supposed to be like a little, like a John Morrison Miz-esque tag team that wasn't supposed to be much, but it made it beautiful. It made it golden at the end. My first match, it was against Mark Anthony and Ray Storm. And those two guys are still in the Virginia area, been there for like years, some odd years, X amount of years, I'm not sure how. They're still wrestling to this day. But the match was actually pretty cookie cutter, just like, you know, boom, boom, boom. I take the heat, boom, boom, boom. And like, you know, and I really didn't, and at that point, I still didn't really know how to express how a Deacon would wrestle. I could not put those two together for to save the life of me. That was the hardest part about that character. Like, they were like, man, you need to be more like a deacon. I'm like, how would a deacon wrestle? I don't get it. I just can't put them two together. So I just started like just stop thinking so hard about it and tried to just feel it in the ring, how I would feel, and then this expressive deacon type gimmick. So it was really, that was a struggle for me. Like my first couple matches were like that.
Yeah, I mean, that was really a discussion that you had when you would come backstage, go back to the dressing room. They would say, be more like a deacon.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, express more of how a deacon would be. I'm like, I don't know. So, like, that came to me watching cable access, like, preacher shows, how, like, a reverend would talk to her. And that wasn't my character. That was more of my partner because he was the reverend. But I'm like, you don't watch cable access for, like, and see a gospel channel going on, and you don't see what the deacon's doing in the corner at the organs. You just see the reverend. So I'm like, I don't know where I should pull from research at all.
That's a little difficult. I never heard that. But somewhere along the line, you went from the deacon to high octane. So what happened there? How did you become high octane, Shane Strickland?
That was actually just off a whim somewhere. Like, I was looking for, like, a moniker because I just finally got away from being the deacon, and I was on my own. I didn't really have any connections to move up north and got a whole new gear, and, like, I didn't have many connections at all. So I wasn't really just, like, somebody telling me what to do. It was like, wow, I have to come up with my own thing now. This is what do I think will work? So I just started, like, playing around with little monikers, like, things that would match my personality, match my wrestling, and, like, just pop out to people. So, like I was like, Shane, Strickland, what can rhyme with Shane? What can rhyme with Strickland? So I was just, like, high octane. That was more of my style, just, like, high flying, big dives, hard hitting. So I just went with high octane Shane, and I tried to run with that as much as I could, but that didn't really pick up. That didn't roll off the tongue as much as things did for me.
Yeah. Now, somewhere along the line, I'm thinking it was last year, you got the call for CZW. What happened there?
What happened with how'd that?
Well, how did that all come together? Getting into CZW.
Well, what happened was when I wrestled in Virginia for about 2 years at this point. And I feel like I'm still at the same level, and I wanted to elevate myself really bad, because that happens to a lot of guys that get comfortable in their position, and they feel like since they're just like the big fish in that little pond, they've made it, and that wasn't enough for me. I always wanted to elevate and get to a better spot, wrestle the best out there, and become one of the best out there. So I felt I had to go back up north, because that's where all the action was happening, was with Dragon Gate and Ring of Honor and CZW. Everything was happening up north. So I decided to move back up north. And the first show I went to was Groundbreaking Wrestling, which is ran by Greg Excellent.
Yeah.
In Hanover, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
That was the first show I've ever been to up there. And I just came and just watched the show, met a lot of the guys, because I wanted to be a part of it. And that was the first time I met Adam Cole. He wrestled Joe Gacy that night. So right after the match, I was like, oh, man, this guy's awesome. And I realized how young he was. I was like, oh, wow, he's a CZW guy? Wow. So I just started Facebook messaging him and sending him my stuff and showing him my matches that I've had. And I just, like, kept just sending every, like, just asking every question I could. The gracious guy that he was, he answered every single thing, every message that I ever wrote him. He came back with a response to every video I've ever sent him. He just answered everything, and it, he also asked me to come up to CZW one night and train and just meet DJ. And so he passed along the word to DJ to him. So one night I went up there, ran the training courses with them, with everybody, all the students and everything. And they've already heard of, and a lot of the students already knew about me a little bit from Groundbreaking Wrestling. I had a little buzz going for me at the time. It was just really small, but it's starting to pick up. And I met with DJ, and I was like, hey, DJ, I'm Shane Strickland. I was Adam Cole, Brian. He's like, yeah, I know who you are. I was like, oh, okay. All right. So he's like, all right, get in the ring. I want you to run the match with this guy. So I ran this little on the fly 5-minute match, which ended up being terrible. It was just awful. Nothing went right. The kid was literally really blown like 2 minutes in, and it was just really bad. And I was just like, oh my God, I just blew my shot at CZW. This is awful. He's going to tell me to get out of the ring and never come back in here again. So after that, it was just like, oh, what did he do wrong? And all the students were like, he did this wrong, they did this wrong, they did this wrong. Just check mark on all the bad in the match. Nothing good. And then he's like, yeah, you need more training. But he allowed me to come back, like, time week in and week out, month in, month out, and invited me to every show. The first show I was ever at was Night of Infamy, where Sammy Callahan faced Adam Cole.
Okay.
For the junior heavyweight title. And that was the first show I was ever at. And ever since then, I was like, okay, I need to be in this ring by next year. And then the following show, Cage of Death. I was like, okay, I need to be in the Cage of Death next year. And then the show, after a while, but my first time he gave me an opportunity was when we went to Indianapolis. It was this Indianapolis show with Tommy Dreamer was on. And
yeah.
I wrestled like a big 10-man tag match. It was like the East Coast guys against the Midwest guys. And Dave Christen, Alex Colon, agent in our match. They were the agents to our match, and they helped us put it together. And Dave Chris said I was the one that stood out a lot, mostly from everybody. And he asked for how long I've been training, how long I've been doing this, yada yada yada. And so he gave word to DJ. So then my first debut match was in Aerial Assault last year.
Okay.
And so that's how. Basically, I answered your question about how I got into CZW.
Yeah, yeah. Now,
but yeah.
Oh, go ahead. If you had another point.
Oh. At that point, like, all I did was just all I had was Indianapolis under my belt. I didn't wrestle any of the CZW show, so Jersey and Philly fans don't know who I am at all. All I did was just debut in Indianapolis, and Sammy Callahan was like. Hey, man, I got an idea for you. I think this will work for you more than anybody else. I have this Michael Jackson CD in the car, and we were listening to this on the way here, and we really think that would fit you all the way. You should try to come out to this, because everybody's going to try to come out to hardcore hip-hop, hardcore metal and death and everything like that. Everybody wants to be hard and in your face. I think you should take a step back when everybody's moving forward and try to go down this road, go down this path, because I think you would shine a lot more. And that, like, clicked, right when he said that, it clicked for me. So I just changed my whole attitude out, and then, like, everybody came out, and he was 100% correct. Everybody came out to death metal, heavy hip-hop, this, that. And then you hear, like, jingling and drum beats and, like, 70s Michael Jackson music, and everybody just like, huh. And they just stopped, and, like, that made everybody pay attention to me more.
Well,
I wasn't just that filler guy. Yeah.
I think the matches that really put you on the map, at least with the Philadelphia, New Jersey crowd, was your trilogy with Rich Swann. Now, the first one was at Tangled Web last year. How did you think that match went?
Looking back at it, I still like that. I think that was one of my more favorite ones out of all three of them. That was where I had to earn it. That was where I had to prove to everybody where I could go, that I do belong in this company. And that's where we started flowing with the storyline as well. I had to prove to somebody who is the veteran that I do belong here and I can go. And just working with Rich taught me a lot. It taught me about timing. Like, I wasn't really working with guys I had to bring up to my level. I'm working with guys past my level. So now my timing has to be, like, spot on more than anything else. It taught me a lot about interacting with the crowd, and not just any crowd, a Philadelphia CZW crowd, which is one of the toughest crowds there is.
They're a bunch of pansies.
Yeah. KOA got booed, so good tag team.
Yeah.
But that trilogy really brought me out, and it also brought awareness to other companies around in the area that, every time I'm mentioned, it's like, I did Jeff Peterson Cup, I did this, I did that, and the trilogy of Rich Swann that put this kid on the map. That's always labeled there from here on the rest of my career. And I feel like that's what I needed, somebody of Rich's stature to bring me up to another level as well.
Now, how does it feel, you've been in the business as long as you have, which is not very long, and you're already in CZW. I mean, how does that feel? I mean, that's a major step.
It's a blessing. It's something I would not have imagined 3 years ago at all. Because, down in Virginia, hearing CZW's name was like hearing, Zeus and Mount Olympus. It was just you know of it, but you don't see it. You just know of the name. So it was just really, it's really just humbling to me. More humbling than anything, because now I can, I know that I have the spot in one of the best companies in the country, if not the world, and it's just really... It shows how hard I've worked and how far I've come and how much further I'd have to go.
Now, for a while you've been High Octane, and now you're going by Swerve, hashtag Swerve. Explain the change.
The change happened, honestly. There's a song with Kanye West and the Good Music Crew, and they have the song Mercy. In the song, Big Sean, who's one of my favorite rappers right now, he says Swerve all the time throughout that song. And so it was like a joke, me and Swan were in Alex and Sammy were all in the car riding, and we just in the backseat, saying Swerve with them. And I was like, you know what, that's really fly for somebody to just say. It's a simple word, but it's really fly enough for everybody to, catch on with.
Nah.
And so, what I did, I just, everybody's hashtagging on Twitter. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to make my own hashtag. And I was just, hashtag Swerve with everything. And in a promo I cut on YouTube, I explained, Swerve was basically, swag. You have a swag about you have a swerve about you, which means, you don't let people, you can do anything you want to do. Don't let diversity put you down. You have a swerve about you, no matter what happens. So I always took that and then turned it into a positive, having a meaning behind it. And then you can play around with the word, and then I put on a shirt, and I put on my wristband. So you say something enough, a lot of people are going to catch on about it, and it's been catching on pretty well so far. So I'm just glad how that's working out. I'm glad that hasn't backfired on me. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Take it and run with it.
Yeah.
Now, one of the matches that caught my eye, it actually goes back to ECWA down in Delaware, and it was a showcase match. I guess you could call it a dark match, even though it's a house show, so they're all kind of dark, whatever. But it was you. Okay. It was you against Alex Payne, and was that an important match for your career, as far as getting noticed?
At that point, I thought it was. I thought that was one of my staple matches that was going to put me over the top because it was advertised really well. They had a big thing one of the guys that Adam Cole's back in faces one of the guys that Austin Aries helped train. So there was a lot of weight underneath that match going in. And my opinion, I don't think the match turned out as well as I wanted it to be.
It seemed a little quick. Maybe there wasn't enough time given to you, or I'm not sure. But
it was just it's just when those two guys when two guys are expected to have fireworks, it just comes out as firecrackers. I felt like it didn't spark enough for everybody to be like, we need this guy back. And it didn't help the fact that when I threw a kick to Alex Payne near the end of the match, it knocked him out completely.
Oh, really? Legit? Oh.
Yeah, legit. He was out.
I did not. I was there. I didn't even notice that. But Has there been any interest since that time? I mean, we're talking like a year and a half.
No, actually the last time I did a Super 8 ECWA match was at the Super 8 in a Rumble that took place during that event. And I didn't get a call back since then, and I didn't actually reach out to contact them back either. No. My career was moving in a different direction at the time, and I was like, you know what, I don't really necessarily need the backing by them.
Okay.
It would be nice. It would be cool. But then they were doubleheading with CZW, and
yeah.
CZW is where I was making like a ton of like my fan interest, like my backing from. So
yeah,
I just went that direction.
Now this is kind of like a mentor question. Do you have like a guy that has taken you under the wing, maybe a vet at CZW or? Maybe down in Virginia, is there anybody like that?
Down in Virginia, it was definitely the Pharaoh. He was like the co-owner of the company, but he was one of those guys I would like spend like 3 hours in the ring with at a time, just like constantly just working with. I'd go to his house, we'd play like NBA 2K for hours, but like also like converse about wrestling and the business and how he feels about certain characters, the psychology, just broke it all down to me in just the simplest form where I just, like, ate up all the knowledge. And, like, I don't think I'll ever get somebody like him ever again, especially that early on in my career. Like, that was, like, one of my best friends but also my boss at the same time, and we definitely stayed that fine line between that. Now, up at CZW, I definitely feel like DJ Hyde is, like, my biggest mentor right now, because I'm always like texting, calling him at the training school, talking to him. I stay late till like 1 a.m. talking to him. He's just like opens my eyes up more, because I'd say the Pharaoh taught me more about being a wrestler. DJ taught me more about how to be a star, and there's two big differences in that not everybody gets.
Man.
Like how to like not just be like a good wrestler and a great addition to a roster, but how to be that guy that stands out past just the roster, like be the guy, be the it guy. And he's taught many people how to do that, and I just want to learn that as much as anybody else can.
Well, DJ Hyde, he has quite a legacy as far as guys that are either already signed with WWE or they're about to be signed. So, I mean, getting with DJ, do you think that's an important step for you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It was something I knew where I was like, he had a lot of negative feedback coming from a lot of people because of the way his attitude is and how he presents himself to a lot of people. And he just comes off like, sometimes you just got to take certain people from how they are. If you're not going to change him if he's been this way for like the past 20, 15 years.
True.
But the statistics and the accolades, that's the truth. That's just plain facts. The man knows what he's talking about. He has a resume, and he has predecessors to back that up with John Moxley, Sami Callihan, Adam Cole, and so on and so on and so on. He must be saying something right, you know.
So DJ Hyde, that's like the step for you. I mean, that's you think you stick with DJ, that's going to get you to the next level, so to say.
I feel not as much as using him like that.
Well, I didn't mean it like that. I just meant
yeah. But yeah, like
use
I feel like DJ. Like yeah, if I hang out with DJ, I can be a star.
Yeah.
But no, like. Definitely, like, it's definitely, he knows what he's talking about, and he has all the knowledge to pass down to a lot of more younger guys, but he doesn't make it easy. He doesn't make it easy for anybody to just grasp on. You have to work for it, and you have to be hungry. You have to want to drive those hours, those lengths, those miles. You have to want to stay in these places. You got to. He makes it a task. and he gives you tasks to complete. And it's all about who wants it, who has the hunger for it.
Okay. Now, 2013, it started. What is next for the new flavor?
Next for me is definitely overseas. That's one of my biggest accomplishments. That's one of my biggest dreams to try to accomplish in my wrestling career. In only 3 years, my third year, trying to go over to, like, another country to do what I love to do, do something that I only dreamed about doing when I was in the backyard playing around with friends. That's just the biggest dream that anybody could ever have, to honestly do what you love to do and get paid for as a career. That's just, like, that takes my breath away to be able to even say that that's a possibility for me. So overseas, and then Pro Wrestling Guerrilla is a big, big stepping stone for me as well to try to get in that region. So that's what I'm trying to look forward to, like, those two big obstacles for me.
Now, I'm going back to the philosophy of DJ. A lot of people have said that DJ's philosophy is that this is a business. Go out there, get your bookings, get paid, all that sort of thing, and that you got to be a worker, not just a wrestler, and there's a big difference. Has he instilled that in you as well?
Yes, more so. More so, and to have that philosophy, it actually makes you a more respectable worker and wrestler to promoters and to companies and promotions all around the country. Because there's that transition between being a kid in the business and being a man in the business. And to be a man in the business, you have to have business savvy. You have to be almost cutthroat about certain things. You have to stand. You have to stand your ground when it comes to promoters, because promoters are after the biggest dollar they can make, and who's the ones making the dollar for them? You are. You're the one risking your body out there, you know, risking your health and your life to try to entertain the fans that come out and puts the dollar in the promoter's pocket. What happens when you see somebody get hurt on a show? They're just carried off, move on to the next match.
Yeah.
So you have to stand strong about certain things. And I think DJ's taught me and a lot of other guys that, like, you have value to yourself. You portray how much value you have to promotions itself. And I think a lot of guys need that more.
I mean, there's a lot of companies out there. I'm not naming companies, and it's not about that, but there's a lot of companies out there that you don't get paid. You're doing a favor, you're doing it for free, and I think that hurts the business a lot more than a lot of other things out there.
It does, and it just goes back to that value. I feel like some guys just, like, they don't put as much value to themselves as much as they should. They don't put as much value to the business as much as they should. Like you're being able to get inside a wrestling ring that 100, 200, 300, 400, maybe 1,000 people who went to a wrestling show and watched you are wishing they could do.
Yeah.
It's just like on NFL Sunday. How many people wish they were out there throwing the pass to Calvin Johnson?
Me.
They don't get that chance, but we do. We have that opportunity to entertain them and do something that they wish they could do. And why not put value to that? Why not use your talents and your look, which is a talent and a blessing itself, the best way you should put those. You have a value about that, and I think we need to start putting worth to what we have and what we can offer, as far as entertainers and as far as workers and wrestlers, and the entire thing.
I couldn't agree more. I could go on for at least another hour about this topic, but
no.
Yeah, I'm going to stop right now. But, CZW. Do you have anything coming up in CZW you want to talk about?
honestly, we just passed one of, like, the biggest things I wanted to talk about, which was Best of the Best. And I felt that that was, like, a huge, huge stepping stone in my career. And I feel like next year's Best of the Best is just going to be even better and better, like, especially for the roster we have and the type of talent that's coming out. For the rest of the year, honestly, we still have Tangled Web coming up, which is going to be an enormous show. September, which is going to bring Down with the Sickness, another Chris Cash ladder match. But for this weekend, this Saturday, we're actually doubleheading with WSU with the King and Queen tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be just a great all-around show, both of them. So, like, we have, like, guys like A.R. Fox teaming with Athena to face against Latin Dragon and Ezra Suena and Cherry Bomb and Pepper Parks. It's just going to be an awesome lineup. And, like, and we have Jessica Havoc facing off against Sami Callihan. That's going to be amazing.
That's an interesting match. What are your feelings, just as, a worker behind the curtain, what are your feelings on that match, Callihan and Havoc?
It's going to be brutal. I feel like the closer two people are outside of the ring is the closer the impact is going to be inside the ring.
Okay.
So it's going to be brutal. When two people are really close outside the ring, inside the ring, they have the freedom to just do what they want, and the other person just be like, oh, it's okay, I'm going to come back as hard. It makes it like a good competition. So it's going to be brutal. They're definitely going to be trying to top each other, and both like are top of their respective businesses and their respective genders in their companies with WSU and with CZW. So that's definitely going to be a good one.
Yeah, definitely. And then later on that night, Sammy has double duty that night. He's going to be taking on DJ. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's some type of secret. Do you know what the secret is, Shane?
I do not know. They actually really, really kayfabing that to a lot of people. So a lot of even the guys are going to be like peeking through the curtain to see what's going to go on next. So this is actually one of the few times. I think this is one of the last few times we're actually going to have Sami Callihan on the Indies as well. So.
That's
everybody's
what I heard.
Going to want to tune in.
Yeah,
everybody's
that's what
going to want to tune into this one.
He, of course, has a match with Adam, I think, for PWG coming up, an Iron Man match. That's, I think, in June sometime.
I believe.
Yeah, there you go. Now, you, of course, have Riot Pro Wrestling. You were at the debut show. You're back. What are your feelings on Riot Pro?
I actually won't be at the next Riot Pro show.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
On Point Wrestling. Well, you're going to debut at On Point Wrestling on the 25th.
Yeah.
How's that feel?
I love making debuts. I love making first impressions because they last the rest of the time in your career for that company. I love making grand entrances and be like, all right, this is what I have to offer. Boom, 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 boom. Have the crowd up and then be like, oh, that wasn't all though. I still have some more left to show you, and I have a lot more to offer you people. And I have merchandise to sell, so that's always good too, to being a debut. So like, oh my god, this is the first time I get a hands on a Shane Strickland t-shirt or like a pictures, and so that's always good too.
Okay, now Riot Pro, you were at the debut show for that. You wrestled Amasis. Now, how was that match? Now, the fans, I felt, were kind of out of it, but quite frankly, I think it was the best match on the card.
Oh, I loved it.
Okay.
I absolutely loved it because, this was big for me, for Amasis himself, to come back from, apparently he was had a car accident and was stopped wrestling for about 2 years, and that was one of his, like, second or third match back from the wreck.
Yeah.
And so this was one of his first few times to really come out and, like, he wants to, like, show, he really wanted to show off and really wanted to do a lot of stuff. So I'm like, yes, this is going to be a good night then. Because I love working with guys who just really want to just go balls to the wall and show out and do everything that they want to do. And I love, like, because the energy is there, possibilities are endless. And that was just a really good flow. First time working each other, and we worked really well together. And I would love to work them again anytime.
That's good. That's good. Now, the last question I have, and it went that quick. Dan, we were talking about that earlier, how quickly questions go.
Why is the sky blue, Shane?
Now, your military career, are you through with that, or are you still finishing that up?
I honestly continued it. I reenlisted for another 6 years, but honestly, my military career doesn't like affect my wrestling career too much. They actually enjoy the fact that I wrestle, and then they see it as my career as well.
Okay.
So they really work well with it, and I've been in the Army for 6 years now.
Oh wow.
So I kind of have that seniority in my unit to be able to just like mix and match days. I'm like, I can't be here this Saturday. Can I do this on this Monday so I can work out? And I'm like, oh yeah, that's fine. As long as you can be, I'm like, okay, that's fine. So they just work out really well with me, and they see how far I'm coming in my career, and all the balls rolling, starting to roll and get bigger for me as well. So they really understand, and they really work well with my dates and everything. So that's really well, and they offer good security for my family as well.
Yeah, true. So, Shane, where can people follow you, follow this career? Because you're really a rising star in on the independents.
Well, thank you so much. You can always follow me on Twitter at Strickland Shane. Check me out on Facebook, Shane Swerve Strickland on Facebook. I always have flyers posted. You'll always be able to see my upcoming shows. I always list have a list of lineups on like May dates, then all of June dates, then all of August dates, July dates, and August. So I'm always bringing in new merchandise, new pictures, new shirts, working on other types of merchandise as well. So you can catch me in like this month. I will be debuting at Excite Wrestling as well.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So, and that's going to be a stat card. Guys like Chuck Taylor, Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano will be there. So that's going to be exciting as well. So if you're in Binghamton, New York, check that out. And we'll be having CZW Proving Grounds this weekend. And see how also doubleheading with WSU for the King and Queen tournament. So you definitely want to check that out. Both events, one starting at 4 o'clock, one starting at 8 o'clock. I'm trying to think of other times I'm in New Jersey.
Gee, I think you're working enough, dude.
I never work enough. To me, I feel like it's never enough. I need 3 days. I need a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in order for me to feel, like, complete.
What are you doing the third Saturday every month?
Dan.
But.
Dan. He asked you what you're doing the third Saturday of every month. But we'll save that for an off-the-air conversation. Shane, I want to thank you so much for coming on and just talking about your career for a little while.
I need help.
Oh, thank you for being interested as well.
Okay, no problem. So you're definitely invited back, and you have a great night, sir.
You too. Thank you so much.
Okay.
This is the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, from New Moon Rising Wrestling. Have you ever dreamed of having your birthday party inside a professional wrestling ring? Well, now is your opportunity. You've seen the rest. Now it's time to experience the best. At New Moon Rising Wrestling's birthday bash birthday parties, we don't just offer unique and affordable party options. We create memories that will last a lifetime. We offer three outstanding party packages. All packages include great photo opportunities with the wrestlers and real championship belts, along with fun in a professional wrestling ring. For more information, go to nmrwrestling.com or call 609-820-2793 for the New Moon Rising Wrestling Birthday Bash.
Hello, guys. That's it. My name is Akira Tozawa. I am a mystery man の bass player です。時間も割いて私たちの音楽を地域でいただきありがとうございます。あなたがそれを楽しんで猫の記憶を私の驚くべき作り入れてしベスの技術宣告を席巻したりでの出前を買った。でも、マイルズ・デイブルス好きです。大好きです。その素晴らしい
Phasers of Miles Davis by the one and only Mystery Men.
Oh, my God, man.
Oh, my God.
That bass line. If you're musical enough out there, I ask you to go back, rewind right now. Go back 30 seconds. Go back 30 seconds twice. And listen to that bass fill.
Jesus.
I don't know what I'm more excited about, Dan. Shane Strickland or that bass fill?
I don't know. Bass fill's kind of cool.
That bass fill is awesome.
Oh, bass bass player is great.
And he speaks fluent Japanese, as proven by that intro to the song.
Now, how do we know that? Do you speak Japanese?
Fluent, Dan.
You do?
Konnichiwa.
Ohayou gozaimasu.
Exactly. Now, we were talking about we were talking about it a little earlier. Brock Lesnar, he's a monster. Goes and destroys.
He's a monster, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, adi, blah.
He's a big, mean dude.
Now, why do they bring him back, and he's really just, is he just enhancement talent to make the
Triple
bigger...
Triple H look good?
Well, at this point, yeah.
Is he making Triple H look good, or is he making Paul Heyman look good?
No, Paul Heyman looks anybody he works with look good.
Yeah, but I'm not saying it was intentional. I think the guy who's looking the best coming out of this is Paul Heyman.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
I mean, Paul Heyman always looks good. Come on.
The whole time he's going down the hallway, like, Brock, I don't see a poster of you anywhere. Is that unbelievable? I don't see a poster of you anywhere in this building.
You're a former two-time champion.
You're a former two-time champion. Hi, you're not Stephanie.
Yeah.
It was the best part of it was him. I really, you know, the less Brock says, the better.
I don't know. So he destroys the thing. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what point you get across by...
The Triple H promo after that was better than the segment.
I don't know about that.
That's not saying much.
I don't know about that. Triple H hasn't had a good promo in at least 5 years.
Six and a half.
Seven. Anyway, Raw as a whole, how did you guys feel about it?
Well, I was saying earlier was it during the pre-show or did I say it loud? I enjoyed it, and the only reason why I enjoyed it is I think the first hour and a half there's a setting on your DVR where you can skip 5 minutes at a time. So I kept doing that.
Okay. Yeah.
But towards the end of the show, they looked like they were actually trying to throw wrestling matches in, so I was enjoying myself. I was watching matches.
Well, I did catch the Shield. Now, what are they doing with the Shield? What does everybody think? Are they really grooming these guys to be the next breakout stars? Or
I hope so, because
it just seems they're in a holding pattern, and I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Well, you did, but that's okay. The only thing they could do at this point to not screw it up is to have them go all year without being beat. Just let them go. Let them go until you can write an ending to it. Because if anybody just goes over now, it's going to be like, well, they had to go over. No, just keep it going. Do it. Do the Goldberg thing, but do it better.
Well, go ahead, Omega. You had a point, I think.
No, don't let them talk.
You know, I was just going to say, I really like the idea of them going undefeated for a long time. I just think that's going to be the best way to get them over as a team. Have they really? And I think back in recent years, have they really had a team that's been that dominant?
No.
Isn't that really a good way to get them over?
And here's the thing. Here's where
they could go. So, I mean.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Here's where they've painted themselves in kind of a corner. They went over Kane and Taker. So now they have to go undefeated for a while. End of story. I mean, one of the things Michael Cole said on commentary, I mean, the Undertaker 21-0, and he beat the Undertaker. It's like, okay, well, now you can't. Now you have to keep winning.
Well, but the Undertaker's record outside of WrestleMania isn't nearly as prestigious, shall we say.
Well, let's just say that saying he's, you know, undefeated at... WrestleMania is like, well, the Flyers won 2 Stanley Cups, so that means something.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't really mean anything at all.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, granted, he's 21-0, but the rest of the year, he's, you know, like anybody else.
I mean, it was nice to, on the side note, it was nice to see him, you know, 3 weeks off of WrestleMania and not say, well, I'll see you next year, old man. But
that was very odd, I think.
Well, it was just, I think he stuck around, just put Shield over. That's exactly what he did, and now he's gone.
Well, do you think he comes back maybe for a SummerSlam, and they have the Shield against him?
Yeah, and I think they go over again, quite frankly.
Well, they should. They should.
I think they need to go over. I'm going to stick to my guns and say they need to go over. They need to keep going.
I think they got to keep
going. Just keep it going.
Yeah, I think they got to keep going at least until they win the tag titles. I think
you
got to put the strap on them at some point.
That's within a month, I think. They're going to win the tag titles.
Well, I would say that, unfortunately, and I don't agree with this, the tag titles don't mean that much. But
no.
they need to be, I hate to use this as an example, they need to do an NWO thing where they're all champs.
I mean, the Freebird rule, that's been around longer than NWO, but...
I meant singles. They all need to just take over and be like, no, we're so dominant that as a team we've won these titles, period, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, are they setting themselves up so that someone like either like Ambrose wins the U.S. title and then they get the tag titles?
That's what I'm hoping.
Is that what you're hoping for?
No, I'm talking about U.S. What the hell titles are there?
U.S. Intercontinental.
U.S. Intercontinental World. I was going to say U.S. and European.
Well, but then you have the sacrificial lamb of Dolph Ziggler. If you do that, you're just kind of throwing his reign to the side.
I don't care about Dolph Ziggler.
How can he say that?
Sarcastic.
A month ago.
I was being sarcastic. I'm not talking about in... let me clarify. I'm not talking about get all three titles in the next month. I'm talking about...
By the end of the year.
I'm talking about by the end of the year, they're all singles champions, and they're basically standing at the top mountain going, we've done this as a team. We're all champions, and no one can stop us. And they just keep dominating until they can write in somebody to stop them. Yes, I said it.
Well, obviously that's Brodus Clay and Tenzai.
Oh, obviously.
I just don't know about tying up all the singles titles with.
I don't like that either. I like tag team, and I like one of the secondary titles.
Yeah, I like that.
With you, except for nobody regards the friggin' tag team title anymore. And again, I don't agree with that, but they look like pennies.
But I think that Brian and Kane have done a very respectable job as tag champs.
I love those segments. When they're on, I don't hit the fast forward button. Yeah. But I'm saying, from a fan's perspective, the tag titles aren't up on the list as much as they used to.
Do any titles, though? They job out their singles champions every week. Cesaro was U.S. champion, and we'll get to Cesaro in a second. But Antonio Cesaro was U.S. champion. Did it mean anything?
Yeah, I thought it did.
Okay.
I thought it did.
Let me ask a question then.
Go.
Okay. Can you really say if you're trying to establish Shield as this faction and you want them to be big as they are, can you say with any kind of sense of credibility that a team was dominant forever and didn't win the tag titles? Even if they're meaningless on a day-to-day basis, don't you have to give them the tag titles at some point just to legitimize them as a team?
I agree.
I guess so.
I think there's no way around it, really. But I think that piece of the puzzle will be done relatively soon.
No,
I think they're going to pull the trigger on that.
I think you're right, but I'm just saying the only meaning tag titles have on any given point right now is just to legitimize a team as a team. You know, does it mean anything at any given point in the day? Probably not. But if you want to try, I have a hard time to say if like Evolution had never won the tag titles, or did they never win the tag titles? They must have won the tag titles, right?
I don't remember. Well, Ric Flair won a tag title with Roddy.
But you know, any major team of the last ever.
You know what? Somebody went to join the conversation. Let me give them some music. To make them feel a little better.
Eventually.
joining us all the way from across the pond in England, it's another than What's Wrong with Wrestling. And Harry Barnett, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Well, you know what? After that awesome interview earlier on, Dean, I feel great.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
That awesome interview that you guys did.
Yes, and he is a CZW guy.
You know, that ultraviolet place you don't like.
I'm sorry to hear that, but, you know, sometimes good things come out of bad places, and the guy did sound amazing, and I tell you, if I had any sort of connections to people over here, I would make sure that they put him on some sort of tour. And Dan, if you keep playing that laughter in the background,
I'm
gonna come down there.
I don't have the button. It's your friend Dean. I don't have the friggin' button.
It just seemed appropriate.
It's appropriate that he's blaming me for it. Yeah, never mind.
Anyway, Harry, we're here talking about WWE. Did you have anything to add about the Shield that we were talking about?
Well, I was kind of going to agree with you guys. This kind of, if they're not going to keep them going undefeated for a while, there's no real point keeping them going because they lose. Where do they go from there? Come on, they beat The Undertaker and Kane, for God's sake.
Go ahead.
I want to be clear that Dean is the one hitting the buttons, and it's not me playing the Jeopardy theme song.
You still have a minute, Harry.
Dan, that's coming from me, who plays the music over John from Rhode Island, so, you know, blame whoever you want. I know it's you.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm sorry. So the Shield, get back to your point. I was just horsing around. Go ahead.
I know. Well, that was about it.
That's good. Okay. Now, next week, hang up.
No, stop it. Now, Antonio Cesaro, I want to start out with him. Now, this is a guy that's very strong, and they're really focusing on that aspect of his wrestling. Like, he launched, I forget who he was wrestling. Oh, Zack Ryder. That's why I forgot, because I hate Zack Ryder. And he launched him up in the air and gave him an uppercut on the way down. Looked great. Wonderful move.
I do love that move.
Yeah, and this guy, I think they wasted his first title reign. We'll start with Harry. Go Harry, Dan, Omega. How do you feel about Antonio Cesaro?
Not Harry.
The fact that they dropped that push of his is actually devastating.
Oh, that's it? Wow, I'm glad he's on. Haven't they been wasting him the whole time? I mean, they had this big debut, and it's kind of been since then, and I don't think it's any of his fault.
Well, probably not.
I mean, it's really been like, oh, here's Cesaro, and here's a joke now of a match that he's going to put on because we wrote it.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like they're going anywhere with him.
No, it's like they're just putting him up just to go, here you go.
Do you think they don't know what to do with him? Maybe that's it.
They do know what to do with him. I really don't. I
don't think they know what to do with their entire mid-card.
And it was the same thing during the live show I went to before WrestleMania. He was in this match with, Santino. And it was just a joke for 10 minutes. But the kids laughed, and that's what's important.
Well, you know, it's the Jar Jar Binks theory of booking.
And he'd just be shot to death?
Well, no. I mean, Jar Jar Binks was in there just simply for comic relief, and their mid-card is kind of a comic relief for the kiddies.
I didn't laugh once at Jar Jar Binks.
Well, I'm sure if you were 5 years old at the time, you would have.
And retarded.
Well, possibly.
He's going to die!
You know, I do that every day as I get on the 400 for New Jersey Transit.
He's going to die today? He's going to die?
Right through the heart of Candy.
I just want to shoot myself every time.
Anyway, we're not talking about Star Wars. So what else? Omega, I'm assuming you watched Raw. I saw bits and pieces. Did you watch Raw, first of all?
I saw bits and pieces as well.
Dan, did you watch Raw?
Yeah, I did. Where were you?
Well, you said you went 5, 5, 5, 5.
That's what I was saying. I watched about the first hour and a half. I was skipping through it, and then the second half of the show I stuck through.
Okay.
I wasted my time, but I stuck through it.
Was there anything worth talking about besides what we already have?
Just the fact that it looks like they were trying to stick more wrestling into the episode and less bullcrap.
What about Ryback? The
I don't care.
To me neither.
Well, you know what? Even though I don't care really, they have really ruined him.
They have.
Horribly ruined him.
It's like, and I know I'm gonna get a sound effect for this, but it was the Goldberg thing. It was the Goldberg effect. You had him undefeated. Whatever you thought of him, he was gaining ratings, and then you had Nash beat him.
Well, yeah, you had, and you know he was catching on with the crowds. They were chanting "Feed me more." You know, he had a good push as a face, and then they turned him heel because I guess they ran out of ideas, and his catchphrase was it Ryback rules, whatever that stupid. It's just
it was like when The Rock all of a sudden went heel that second time. I thought it was ill time, but it worked when he was doing the Rock concerts, and just everybody was booing him out of the building.
But it's different, though. That's The Rock. The Rock can make anything work.
That was my point. The Rock made it work. This guy, if he's not doing, he built the career, no offense, on the chant, "Feed me more," got people into it. And now that they're not doing that, and they're supposed to boo him, it's like there's no reaction. It's like a Delaware crowd.
Well, that's it. Nobody cares enough to boo him.
No, it really is. It's just like, hey, he's...
They could get behind "Feed Me More," and then... It's like the Fandangoing thing, too.
Back to the...
When that was organic, it was people could get behind it. Now it's just... Now that the WWE's pushing it, it's like, eh. You know.
It was like that, again, it being in person, that was one of the best reactions to the show, and now it's just hear it over the TV, it's like, hello?
Yeah, no, I agree with all the sentiments.
And the Goldberg thing?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what, Goldberg, don't get me started on Goldberg.
It would turn into
a Cena conversation.
What you think of Goldberg. That's why I said what I said, but the fact that you agree with me means I got my point across, and I was very shocked by that because you argue with me.
Well, no, you know, so, first time for everything. Omega and I agreed on something earlier this year.
Sometimes it doesn't rain in England.
England, it is very...
It was today.
See, I'm wrong.
I tell you, it's a very rainy climate in England. How do you put up with that, Harry?
He has his dog stung by a wasp.
Aye, don't you bring her into it.
Don't you bring that bitch into this. Go ahead, Harry. I'm sorry.
Is the dog okay in all seriousness? Everything's okay with the dog?
Yeah, she's fine. She's sitting in the other room, feeling sorry for herself.
My dog got stung. Now, mind you, my dog is half the size your dog is, but my dog got stung by a bee once and his face swelled up. So,
it was a tail, so she's fine.
All right, good. Back to wrestling before I get shot. Go ahead, Dean.
No, that's fine. You know, I was told by illustrious guests in the past that we should talk more about life. So that's what we're doing, talking about life.
Does that presume we have lives?
That does presume that.
What does that word mean?
I'm not sure. You know what? What I do want to talk about, Harry, is you have this documentary. Is there anything going on with it right now?
No.
Oh. Well, fair enough.
I can't say too much, but I can say that the recording dates are the 21st of September to the 5th of October, and that's about it.
And might I say in public for whoever's listening, we don't get along very much, kayfabe. But I'm very...
No, I don't like you.
yeah, I don't like you either, you bastard. I'm very much looking forward to this documentary. From what I've heard, mostly from you, it's going to be really well done. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the finished product.
Well, Dan, on that point, do you think he's going to say this is going to be horrible? This is... Don't waste your time or effort.
Heard his ideas is what I'm talking about, you.
I'm just saying, you know, let's be reasonable. You know, I heard it from him that it's going to be wonderful.
This documentary, and I think it's going to suck ass, but it really...
I want people to buy it, please.
I want people to buy it, but it really blows. There's only 4 minutes of footage and a bunch of talk and blah, blah, blah. It's just Kevin Von Erich walking around an empty building. Hey, this picture used to be mine. It's all gone.
I remember when there used to be a concession stand there.
Two trucks. rings.
The actual plan was to follow Virgil around Legends of the Ring for about 2 hours.
You know what? He was at a WrestleCon, and the only time I got to talk to Virgil was in the bathroom, and he was very angry that the only stall that was left didn't have a door on it.
Why do I gotta take a piss? But everybody's looking at me. That bullshit.
I gotta take a piss, and this stall don't have no door.
Virgil, that's the
damn it.
That's the Virgil stall. Nobody cares, so you just leave it open.
And it was like it was filled with the most shit and had toilet paper like clinging off the sides. It was, and that's where Virgil had to.
How much was he charging? Please tell me no more than $5.
No, it was 25.
Oh, bull crap!
It's funny though because you'll see him everywhere. He's at every signing. He's at every WrestleCon. That sort
Can
of thing.
I bet you he makes something like that.
And probably, but he's always there, and he looks so
depressed.
Yeah, he's just nobody's there, and somebody should do a documentary on Virgil.
He went through all this training, as much training as any other wrestler, and he was a bodyguard. That's what he did. You know, I'd be pissed off at myself too.
Did you see him wrestle though? I mean, he didn't put on Shane Strickland matches. I'll put it that way.
I'm just saying, bad or good, that's how he views it. I was a wrestler, and now I'm just a freaking bodyguard. At least he wasn't Tony Atlas.
Oh, Tony Atlas.
Jerk. You gotta go buy something?
Nope.
No? All right, bye then.
All right, bye.
My career sucked.
Now, Dan, I found out. Never mind. I was. Never mind.
No, come on.
No, that's all fair. I'm gonna write it down. I'm gonna make a note of it. I'm not sure if it should.
Hey, by the way, I want to shout out to Robert Knight and Kit are apparently listening tonight. And apparently, a hero and a real man. And I think the life of Robert Knight is starting to get fired up again because I see him posting things that he probably shouldn't. That he is. And
I
think he's coming back soon.
I have a video that's been out there for over a year at this point. It's a Dumbo drop. And
that's the one I'm talking about.
He left a comment there. And I was like, well, that's odd.
Brother, nobody can protect themselves from this. F them.
You can call them. I was like, what the hell? Where did this come from? It's like a year ago never happened, and he's still there. He's still there in that moment. He can't get out of it.
Something must have happened or been said.
I don't know.
Because from what I've known, he never said anything until something was said to him except for Breaker. Yes, I'm right here.
You know what, Dan? That was a perfect time to once again play probably the best segment in the history of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Let's do it.
I believe, Robert, you have a special guest lined up for us. And
I do. It's the holiday season. I've been working on this with this guy for weeks. I'm going to see if I can get him to speak, but I have to let him inside Kit because he's standing outside the car right now. His hair's wet. He's wearing a wife beater, and he's got cut-off shorts on, and I know he's freezing, but he wants to read this very special presentation to you guys for the holidays. So I'll be back when he's done. I'm going to introduce everybody to my good pal, Breaker.
Let him All right.
Kit. Hello?
Hey, is this Breaker?
Yes, it is.
All right, Breaker. Now, I understand you have a poem you want to read us.
Okay, I'm going to read this poem. I wrote this poem. It's an epic poem. Was the night before Christmas, and all through the ring, Tank Tolan was pumped to hear Jillian sing. The yards were all covered with snow and some leaves, and New Moon was thrilled to be free from the thieves. Santa was coming, from what I could tell, as I talked to Dan Law from Hell in a Cell. He brought DVD players, the ones that record, so he could see for himself, not Captain Dave's report. Speaking of the captain, he left Santa T with hopes his photographer would get in for free. I'm not part of New Moon, but I'm a fan of sorts, till they open their doors to cut off camo shorts. When out on the lawn, there arose such a clatter, it sounded like Roughneck once again went splatter. And what to my wondering eyes should appear but the Me Society with all of their belts and their gear. They said they had a message but wouldn't do it alone, so they called Robert Knight with their shiny iPhone. Robert was just about to hang up his sock as he shared Christmas cookies with Anthony Rock, Jake Bishop, and Justin, the Untouchables too, all shared Christmas wishes to all but a few. Then Santa appeared. This time it was real. And Joe Hale came along with hopes of a feel. He called out to Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, and Vixen. To hell with the rest. That's not Santa. It's Dean Dixon. He was dressed all in black because that's all the rage. And he spread Christmas cheer and said, fuck Danny Cage. He had but one gift, about the size of a fiddle. It was a brand new ref shirt, folded right down the middle. So this Christmas Eve, while you're pumping your septic, remember what Breaker said, make your Christmas epic.
Wait, hold on. I have a...
Oh, my God. Oh, Breaker, are you still there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
I really didn't know you had it in you to write such...
It was so beautiful, and it made such poetic sense.
Orators of the past, Breaker, could not have come up... Homer would be jealous of your effort today.
My effort, my speech, only comes once a year. Any other time that you hear me, I will not be like this. You're welcome.
Lennon McCartney couldn't have written something that good.
Oh, my goodness. Breaker, thank you so much for joining us and reading that epic poem of yours.
Thank you. I'm going to go back outside. I'll put Robert back on.
Thank you, Breaker. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Exciting as always.
I have some peep jar for you.
How could anybody not take that as a joke?
I don't think they heard it, the person you're referring to.
I'm talking about the person that did hear it that knows that person. How is that not funny? It's a joke!
I agree, Dan, but we're not going there. We're not talking about that. But
it's just hilarious.
It is, you know, of all the things we... What the hell is that?
Look out, Harry! There's a truck coming!
Good God, Harry. Are you all right, man?
Well, is there a noise? I think it's my phone vibrating.
I thought it was one of those English sirens. Okay.
Iceberg!
Strike ahead! Anyway. But, of all the segments that we've done, I certainly think that Breaker's Epic Christmas was the finest of them all.
I really can't. When he just goes, I'm going to go back outside now.
The cut-off camo shorts gets me every time.
Oh, man. It's a joke, guys. It's all a
until they open their doors to cut-off camo shorts. Oh.
I'll just say, it's all a work. It's a joke, guys.
I wish everybody thought that way.
No, because if everybody thought that way, actually more people would make money and more people would show up.
That's true.
In general, that's a generalization.
It is. It is a generalization. So anything else? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I did listen the other day to the episode that you guys had, what's his name, Justin and Jake Bishop on, talking about Split with them, and I love that episode.
It's quite a revealing expose.
But he still answered my question that I asked.
Who? What?
What that person does.
Nobody can answer that.
Nobody can answer that question. What does that person do? He takes a train to New Jersey, to Atlantic City every now and then.
Well, he had to gamble, Dan.
Well, I would gamble that money away, too.
He had to gamble.
He tweets bullshit, that's what I was saying.
Oh, you're talking about somebody else. He's
well,
talking about somebody else.
Well, you know, same family, different bullshit.
Different family. You know, we've been talking behind the scenes, guys, of certain things. Maybe this is what we have to do. I'm going to go back into the vault. I'm going to find that Seamus quote. We'll go from there.
Come on, fella. Find the quote.
I don't. I have to go back in the vault. You know, unfortunately, I don't have it with me.
Do me a favor. Can we get that? And can we get the new one with Raven?
There is one with Raven.
Oh my God! It's so classic.
And one thing that didn't
it's
make
old.
Now the Scoop Slam episode from WrestleCon. Harry, I know that's one of your favorites.
You definitely.
Now. We didn't have the cameras rolling at this time, but we went up to D'Lo Brown, and we asked him. Yeah, well, we asked D'Lo what he learned at this place, and he said he learned how to throw a chop. Said it with a straight face. So it was Don Warren, Brady, and myself, and we go, well, anything else? And he's like, I learned how to throw a chop. And he left it at that. So
was that his actual school?
Yeah, yeah. D'Lo was there for a while.
Was he a nice guy?
Oh,
though?
Wow.
No, he was really nice about it.
I learned how to throw a chop.
Yeah, yeah. Like that. Get out of my. He wasn't like Tony Atlas. He was, you know.
Dean, if you have nothing else that we need to do next week, I really want that Raven quote, please.
I can find it, you know.
Please.
Actually, no, because it's a little hard to get, because it's part of a... If somebody else gets a clip, I can do something with it.
I'll get somebody else to send you that clip.
Yeah, yeah, but, yeah.
At the beginning of the show, I'll go, did you get that clip I sent you?
And I'll go, oh, crap, that clip. No, I didn't. So just getting you ready for next week. Now,
what if I just play it over on the microphone from the computer?
The audio quality of that, I don't know. It would sound like one of our favorite referees.
Can we go?
breaker.
I just wanted to say everything's cool. Good luck. I just want to say good luck. Does anybody have a cheeseburger?
He does like his cheeseburger.
I'm really hungry.
Now, anyway, Dan, let's not go too far down the rabbit hole here.
I want to hit on his mother.
Now, I want to talk about this stuff. That's just not funny. That's not funny. Because... Oh. Remember we kept on saying Ryan was going to have a nude father? You're going to have a new daddy. Anyway.
It's so funny. Nothing. Don't eat your
daddy. Yeah, yeah. Nothing's funny at all. Now, Dan, of course, on the 18th, New Moon Rising Wrestling returns. It's headlined by that dummy, that no good Tank Tolan, taking on O-Dog. How do you feel about that?
You've been talking about how much he's punched you in the face. I hope this time he actually punches you in the face. You deserved it.
I did not. Why would I deserve it?
You know, I liken this to the story of a father who has a brat for a child.
Hansel and Gretel, yeah.
Just builds up and builds up and builds up, and then when something little happens...
Now, wait a second, Dan.
He goes off the rail, and I think...
Let's go back, okay? I just simply wanted to bury the hatchet, and I know we've talked about this in detail. I just wanted to bury the hatchet. I'm in the ring. Cliff Light, now how come Tank didn't go off the handle with him? Cliff Light brings a package that happened to contain a chainsaw. I don't know what's going on.
The ring.
Well, I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to bury the hatchet with the guy. Seconds away from the handshake that would... I don't know. The space-time continuum, would it
I'm just saying that it was very coincidental that you happened to be in the ring going, I'm sorry, Tank. I want to be friend.
I never said I was sorry.
What? That's very true. Yeah, just bury. Let me rephrase that. I mean, bury the hatchet. We can just put it all behind us. Oh, look, a package just happens to come at the same. Who the hell is delivering packages at 11 o'clock?
Well, first thing, it was 10 o'clock.
Somebody with connections.
I heard the rates were good for FedEx.
Someone with connections.
From a good friend of mine. But anyway.
It wasn't DHL?
No. Are they still around?
A little bit.
Okay. No. Anyway.
I don't, you know, whatever. So, I just don't want to be near you when he shows up next week.
Anyway, the match. Tank Tolan against O-Dog. Who do you got?
I got Tank.
Okay. I
don't think Tank will be distracted by Sienna Duvall.
Probably not.
Because it's not Jillian.
Yeah. Now, if she put a blonde wig on, you know, a blonde wig, huh? Started singing.
I agree. My country, Kansas. No.
I think it might work. I think it might work. I'm going to talk to O-Dog this weekend, and maybe we can have a Jillian spot. That sounded a lot more dirty than I wanted it to.
Are we going to film this in HD or in pan and scan?
Pan and scan, my friend. Now, finally, Dan, Justin America LJ Cruz is going to happen again. Now, last time, Justin America picked up the win over LJ Cruz when it was a singles match. What do you got?
I'm going to go with LJ Cruz.
LJ Cruz. Now, why would you say?
I don't think Justin has the talent to beat him.
So high, LJ Cruz is going to win?
So fly, LJ Cruz, trust and believe, hashtag Mr. VIP. I don't think Justin has the talent to beat him. I said that.
He already did.
Come on.
No.
Justin already beat him. Harry, how do you feel? You had the severe displeasure of interviewing LJ Cruz. So how do you feel about it?
Well, didn't LJ win last time?
No. Maybe. Who knows? I just sit there and talk.
He probably cheated.
Brady and I have like a very complex conversation over 2 hours. We're not actually watching the matches.
I was going to say, every time I look over, you guys aren't even looking at the ring. So I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, we're looking at the monitor. The monitor doesn't even work.
The monitors work quite well.
It's a prop.
Anyway, Dan. Don't look at the man behind the curtain. Anyway,
Oz.
Legion of Anarchy taking on the Untouchables, if they can make it there from Connecticut in time. Now, that's for the newly won.
You're going to get so yelled at.
What, for that one? Come on.
Yes.
That is for the newly won New Moon Rising Wrestling.
Come on, guys. That's not cool. Jake was livid. He was livid. He was mad. He was real mad.
Oh, I wouldn't know. I just heard third hand.
If I get a text message right now from that son of... Oh, God. I have a text message. Okay. It was from a coworker at my shoot job. Anyway. Who do you got for that? Legion of Anarchy?
Shoot job is fluffer, right?
You're a fluffer.
No. I love to see it. I got Legion of Anarchy on that one, definitely.
Fluff me for 2 hours every Wednesday. Harry, who do you got? Do you know much about these guys?
I don't know much about the Legion of Anarchy, but I know that it wasn't fair how the Me Society in the first place lost their titles. I'm going with the Untouchables.
I can't breathe.
Shut up, man.
I can't breathe. Omega, are you pissed?
Now, Mike Reed. Mike Reed here in action. Our United States champion.
Oh, is he still here?
Yes.
Oh.
Now he has taken, it's Mike Reed, Beverly Berwick, and Kay Cone with a Flying Hawaiian, a triple threat for the United States title. Dan, I got my money on that dirty Mexican. How about you?
The Flying Hawaiian, not the dirty Mexican. Don't steal somebody else's gimmick.
It's not a gimmick. It's more of a lexicon.
It's an homage.
Harry, how do you feel? Do you think the Dirty Mexican has it?
No, of course not. No, I've been a big supporter of Beverly Berwick since he came into the company, so I'm going with Bev for the next United States champion.
That's great. Wow, new United States champion, the head of security at the foundation, I think. Now, no DQ, no countouts.
No, it doesn't like you, Dean.
What?
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 I couldn't understand why Kid Koa doesn't like you.
5-0, Dan. No DQ, no countouts, falls count anywhere. Crazy Ivan.
Don't say that word.
Crazy Ivan.
Crazy!
Taking on Matt Tremont. Who's crazier, Dan?
I'm picking Wolfcott.
Stop saying that word!
He said Wolfcock. Come on.
No, I'm picking Tremont.
I think that's what everybody said, too. I think everybody in the Proving Grounds, the last show, just kind of looked at each other and said, did he just say Wolfcock? He did.
That's because the wolf has a very pronounced middle section.
Of course it does.
Yeah, you know what, brother? In front of Wolfcock, mother effer.
Anyway.
I think, even though they're both nuts, I think Tremont, he's not certified, so I think he's smart enough to take out Ivan on this one.
Well,
I think he's got the whole thing planned. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. Shut up, let me finish. I think he knows exactly what he's doing, and I think he's going to get the win over him.
Two matches in, two non-finishes. Do you think the third we actually get? Actually get it?
No, but I think he has a plan.
Fair enough. Frankie and Junior Flo will be taking on Bandido Jr. and Damian Adams with,
support
of course,
Bandido!
With, of course, lovable, yours truly, Larry Lawson.
I'm picking Bandido.
Bandido and Damian?
I really think that Bandido and Damian are cunning enough, not to take away from the wrestling talent, but they're cunning enough to get the win over. I think they're going to take advantage over Junior Flo and his lack of experience.
That could be true.
You like how I brought that back on the tracks?
Cut off the ring. That's what happens. Cut it off.
Don't punch your mic.
Sorry. Matt Saigon, now, of course.
Yes!
Life after Fusion DS. Matt Saigon, the younger member of Fusion DS, obviously. Damian Dragon has retired. He seems pretty darn happy about it.
Will Matt Saigon be Steve Hackett when he leaves Genesis, or will he be Paul McCartney and form a new band called Wings and be successful? We'll find out this Sunday.
Matt Saigon be the Marty Jannetty of Fusion DS? We're going to find out, Dan.
Do drugs?
Well, it's tough to get past the loss of a partner.
Have you seen him recently?
You know what? You can only see shoulders now. There's no head left.
No!
It's simply shoulders.
I was going to say, kayfabe, he's part owner of a gym, and he's using it, man.
He certainly is. He's you know what? We always used to describe how he was the power guy of Fusion DS. No doubt.
I mean, he's bulldog status right now. If he doesn't do a running power slam, I'll be disappointed.
Oh, he's like bulldog, like singles bulldog wrestler, like when he was wrestling the Warlord for no reason?
Yeah.
God. That's scary.
That's British bulldog. Yeah. To you.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, I hope I'm going to bring my dog, and he's going to come out ringside with the dog.
Your little wiener dog. He just carries it under his shoulder for no reason.
I'm coming to the ring by Roscoe, the wiener dog, Matt Saigon. What's the point?
Dan, anyway. It's Matt Saigon. I said this was going to be a sleeper match, Dan. Matt Saigon taking on the standard of excellence, Nathan Avery, with some fat mouth.
Wait, isn't it Rotund? Rotund mouth, right?
Some fat-mouthed idiot.
Some rotund. I'm going to file an injunction with my lawyer and then sue you.
No, he said he was going to file an injunction for monetary damages. And as soon as he said it, I turned to Brady and I go, that's not what injunctions do. If you file an injunction, you're trying to get equality back into the law. You're trying to have someone stop doing something. You know what I mean? But no, he's filing an injunction for monetary damages. God bless you, Slim.
That's why he only has one red shirt. He doesn't know how to change it.
God damn.
Anyway, I'm going...
That gimmick.
I'm going to go with Matt Saigon, number one. Number two, keep it back. Stop. Because you're just going to go back and edit like 15 things now.
I'm just going to change the rating to mature so nobody can find it.
I was talking about language. I was talking about...
No, I know. I'll just change it to mature and nobody can find it.
Oh.
I apologize for that.
You didn't say anything.
I did.
Actually, you know what?
The Great Wanker.
I take that back. Actually, the people that...
That's
not... In all seriousness, Dean, the people that we're friends with, except for the last one we mentioned, actually has a sense of humor.
I think so.
So, I take that back. Never mind. Except for the fat one.
Yeah, he'll start crying about it.
I'll just slowly walk away from him. He'll never catch up.
That's how many people deal with him.
Hey, Omega, how you doing?
Are we okay? Have we fallen off the rails, Omega?
You've fallen off the rails, smacked all the trees, off the cliff.
Fallen off the bridge.
Yeah, the ball bridge.
Will you be joining us as early as you have been next week?
Wait a minute. I don't think, considering who we're referencing and the fact that they're friendly and have a sense of humor, I don't think we've been off the rails.
We went a little off the rails earlier.
I don't remember what I even said.
Me.
That's the problem.
When I listen back, I go, ooh.
I'm going to get a text tomorrow around 10. I had to edit this and this.
It's only 2 minutes of edits, but...
It's only 2 minutes of edits. It took 4 hours.
It does.
That one.
And then I'll hear like a and I'll go, ooh, I'm taking that out. It's true.
I'm going to get a text with, what the hell you mean by that?
One of the strangest times when I edited an episode, I didn't edit the aftermath of what was said. So people still found out about what was said, even though they didn't hear what was said.
I forgot. Well, which one was that?
I'm not even getting into it.
All right, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Let's end the show so I can find out these three things that you were going
to
mention.
Well, I wanted to talk about that. So we talked about the card. That's, of course, May 18th. We're going to talk about it in great detail next week. I think I'm going to invite on your favorite, Dan, Justin America.
Why?
That's something I can stay up for.
Yeah, we'll have Justin on next week as long as...
If I wanted to be bored, I'd just, you know...
Oh, stop it.
Listen to the American Roughneck talk.
I was going to say listen to Harry's show, but it's never on.
He doesn't do it live. No, you do it live. I've been on there live a few times.
Yeah, you don't know because you don't listen.
I listen.
I got you. You're busted. Busted!
Busted from what?
Not listening to a show.
I do it live occasionally.
I've been on it a few times, Dan.
I didn't listen. I got bored out. Listen, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. And I shut it off.
Nathan's not with me again.
Nathan's not here again because he's a wanker.
And I'm eating some sausage pudding.
He's eating some spotted dick.
And that's perfectly fine. That will not be edited, Dan.
That will not be edited because it's not dirty.
It's yummy.
It's a real treat. In fact, you can
get... You know what, Dan?
A local giant.
I'll also get on American...
I'm filing an injunction.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Harry. Now, Harry, of course, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I just said thank you, Harry, for being here.
Oh, Harry.
Harry.
Yes.
Harry.
That's great to all of you, but anyway.
No, go ahead and plug the podcast we're talking about. Of course, What's Wrong with Wrestling.
It'll be on in another 2 weeks.
if I decide to bring it back, because I kind of, you know, just... interjected myself into in the room. Well, Brady invited me.
It's been the best thing that's ever happened to that show, by the way.
Well, I thank you for that, Dan. No one this great could ever do anything as great as I do. But, you know, thank God for me being on there. But, yeah, if I ever bring What's Wrong with Wrestling back, I probably will eventually. What's Wrong with Wrestling.podomatic.com, thebradyhicks.com, Saturday night.
Harry, real quick, before you continue, that the archived episodes are up online?
Yeah, well, the interviews are up on the Podomatic one, and pretty much everything is up on Brady's site.
There you go.
There you go. And he has, of course, gone through the roster of New Moon Rising Wrestling. And I am a big supporter of Harry actually interviewing the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont.
And I will say this, go back and listen to those, because he's a really good interviewer. The only people that are better are Dean and myself and Omega.
But there you go.
Dark being there. Thanks for throwing me the bone, Dan.
At least I didn't forget to tweet you.
Jen Knight, remember to include in your Follow Fridays Omega Squad Chris Green.
Don't forever get the Transformer messages.
Now, Harry, where can people follow you?
At Instant Classic H, at WWW Wrestling, at DOA. shit, what's the name of it?
Oh, you dirty wanker. Why don't you go to bed?
Yeah, I'll find the third one later.
Okay, good. And I'll edit it in or something. But Harry, have a good night from your American friends.
But friends? I didn't know me and Dan. Oh, no, sorry, Omega as well. me and Dan aren't exactly friends.
Well, okay. I'll accept
that. We're professional acquaintances.
Well, all right.
No, we just kind of tolerate him, so, you know.
Yeah, every week. He plus me, so what can I say?
Yeah, you know.
Anyway, Harry, have a good night.
And you, buddy.
All right, so that was Harry Barnett from What's Wrong with Wrestling.
All right, thank God you got him off the phone. I just was going to throw up.
Yeah, I'm sure, Dan. You got to do a little bit better with the feud you got going there.
Well, it's a half feud, really.
Fair enough.
He's more annoying than a feud.
Now, Omega Squad, next week we'll have something to talk about. There wasn't much going on in MMA.
Well, he's not coming back next week.
Yeah, that assumes I'm coming back now. Yeah. we'll have the chance to talk about, the new next card, Vitor Belfort versus Luke Rockhold.
And that is on FX on the 18th as well.
Yes, it is.
So that's going to be a good card. We'll talk about it. We'll run it down. We have some good stuff to talk about there. We do have one thing to talk about very briefly. Chicago's gone.
Yeah.
See you later.
See you. What?
We said that last week. Never mind.
We did.
We did say it last week.
Anderson Silva missed a media
tour. Oh, yeah, he was fine.
50 grand.
Yeah, 50 grand. He didn't know about the obligation, apparently.
Apparently not. Yeah. I would think I might be aware of that if it was going to cost me 50 grand.
I was going to say, I would think that would be on my iPhone itinerary there. Yeah. Show up or lose 50 grand, jackass.
He has a flip phone. Now, guys, Omega, where can the fine people find you?
They can find me on Twitter, at Omega Squad.
How about you, Dan?
DanLaw83.
Now, of course, I am the Dean of Credibility. Follow me at Folsom County. Go to the website, HIACTalkRadio.com, and we'll talk to you next week. We are going to look at this card. We're going to have the American Roughneck and Justin America. Not Just Incredible. Who's that?
Manowar?
I don't know.
Who?
Portuguese or something.
I don't know.
But we'll be back next week. Justin America.
See ya!
And it's going to be... It's going to be a humdinger, Dan.
It's going to be a humdinger. It was going to be a slobber knocker.
I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran to a black man's arms. Dare give away. Dare give away. My neighbor got big tentacles because we see this dude every day. We eat ribs with this dude, but we didn't have a clue that that girl was in that house. She said, please help me get out. Dare give away. My neighbor got big tentacles, cause we see this dude every day. We eat ribs with this dude, but we didn't have a clue that that girl was in that house. She said, please help me get out. So I'm open the door, we can't get in that way.
kick the bottom. And she comes out and she says, get some old girls up in that house. Call 911 and they called him and McDonald. I knew something was wrong when a little